You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
I picked the ones I like.
In the back, Donnie.
It's unacceptable.
It's a moral battle.
I cannot believe the call.
It's going to be rough.
Please tell us what it is.
This is the Brian Suits Show.
Julian with me, AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here, and producer Greg on a urging caution Friday. Is we just urge caution in general, and so do Pacific Northwest firefighters, as regional firefighters have gotten together to prep for electric vehicle emergencies. I wonder statistically, the odds of you driving a Ford F-150 and hitting someone else in a Ford F-150 are better than any. It's the top selling vehicle in America. Okay, but what about Tesla and Tesla? What happens there? The battery's all up front, right?
Is that a rhetorical question?
Yeah.
I don't know much about it.
With because we have a very dense, you know, besides Beverly Hills and Mercer Island in general, the Seattle area has a very dense EV population. With around 115,000 electric vehicles on Washington roads, firefighters are now preparing for the unique challenges of dealing with the hazards from EV emergencies. On Thursday morning, on practice Friday morning, crews from Seattle Fire met with a team from GM that came to the city to train first responders on what to do in a roadside emergency with an EV and all that. I would think there have been a handful of manufacturing responsible issues with Tesla specifically. There was one, I want to say in Auburn a couple of years ago, that made national news now that Elon Musk is possibly conservative, any sort of Tesla random burning is going to make news, but not a GM. We're adjusting our training like the fire service has done for decades, and we're prepared for this hazard. The largest gap, as I see it, for the fire service nationally, as I see it, is the lack of a true, robust energy vehicle response program, or EVRP. And the central issue is that it's lithium. And lithium doesn't like oxygen. Not a fan. I would tell you, maybe get one of your dead lithium ion or a brand new lithium ion battery and try it for yourself. But I would be recommending you do something very hazardous. However, if you do, you'll find that they're rolled up. It's not like a hunk of lithium. It's rolled up, and you unroll it, and it would rather not be unrolled. And so I've never understood, because I've never seen under the hood of a Tesla. So someone maybe can text us at 800-465-8770 with this answer. Is it amazingly shielded or something, so it doesn't get wet or oxygen doesn't get in there? Or what? I don't know. But, I mean, we're going to start seeing EV on EV. I mean, obviously it's less hazardous than a half filled tank of gas, which is more explosive than a filled tank of gas. Okay, I will stipulate that, though I'm still a fan of internal combustion. It's still the most efficient way to move a vehicle known to man. Until somebody gives me a free hamster in little wheels. But so anyway, in Seattle, they are planning for this, and GM is aware that nothing but nothing kills a new car like bad PR. Imagine if GM begins rolling out a cheap model so that, you know, that fulfills the criteria of the new incentives for American-made, American-sourced lithium and all that, and they start just blowing up or going bluey, that's going to be a significant blow to their credibility.
Do you know who Neil Postman is?
Oh, yeah, the old poster.
He has a great book from the 80s, I believe, called Amusing Ourselves to Death, but I once watched a talk with him. He commentated in part on new technologies and their impact on society, and he proposed asking 7 questions before adopting any new technology. And the first one was, what is the problem this new technology solves? The second question is, whose problem is it? And the third question goes unanswered so often in this day and age, and that is, what new problems do we create by solving the old problem? You see what I'm saying? As it relates to this story.
You know what's so funny is I mean, this tragedy Monday night, Seattle Police Department Ford Explorer on pedestrian. That's an outlier, but silent Priuses hitting pedestrians.
I was just going to bring up that very
fact. No one in the boardroom at Toyota said, yes. You know, hey, wait. Can we put a noisemaker on the front?
Yes.
Something, a ringing bell. And they're like, what's not our problem that it doesn't make a sound. And remember when 60 Minutes, they did a story about Tesla like 3 years ago, 3 or 4 years ago, and they foleyed in engine noise.
Yes.
And he went, and Musk went nuts. And he said, you need to apologize and take that back. It doesn't make, and there's no engine noise. But that was sort of the side effect was people started getting hit by silent cars.
Well, that's going to be one of the new problems that's created by this new technology. I had a buddy who let me ride in his Tesla a few months ago. I'd never been in an EV before. And he goes, we were on some back roads in suburban part of Bellevue. And he goes, do you want to see this go from like 0 to 40, you know, which is 5 miles over the speed limit? And it did it in an instant.
Yeah.
And I was shocked by how quiet it was. And honestly, I was struck with fear because I thought, you know, at any moment, there's a kid in one of these houses that could just jump out in the middle of the road and not hear this EV coming, because it was like whisper quiet how fast it went from 0 to 40.
Yeah, that's what I'd say. If, you know, if Seattle firefighters are preparing for the aftermath of accidents and the batteries and all that, they better just ramp up the vehicle on human accidents that are already a decade old problem that no one saw coming. And now now that Biden's incentivizing murder, which is exactly what, or something, I'm sure I can come up with something better than that, but now that this is happening, car on pedestrian accidents are going to be up at like 1905 levels when you know, that's the reason, you know, they had cow catchers on Seattle Street trolleys and trams that were there at the time. And that's why they have bells, because people were like looking this way and the tram is coming up, the electric tram. But then cars were brand new and people were getting hit left and right. And just imagine how loud a car was in 1905. Well, the problem was the whole city was loud because horses were going clippity clop on cobblestones. And it was noisy, and people were looking right, and the cars coming to the left, and there were no lanes, and the whole thing. And I predict another bloody toll, another grim milestone, Greg. There'll be a grim milestone.
There always is
in the offing. Anyway, don't get, again, my advice: don't be that guy, and don't get hit. So that's your 2-step plan. A possible snow in our immediate future. Well, 4 days. Anyway, and my 2-step plan there, again, look out the, well, 3-step, look out the window. Is it snowing? Yes, no. If yes, leave early, drive slow. If no, go to work at your normal speed. Thank you. These are free. This is, can you believe this amplitude modulation signal is free? If the protecting, there's the PRO Act. If the Protecting the Right to Organize Act, also known as the PRO Act, currently pending in the U.S. Senate, becomes law, freelancing will be forever altered. I mean, basically over. The PRO Act is designed to amend previous labor laws, such as the National Labor Relations Act, allegedly to assist employees to unionize, should they wish. A longtime freelance writer and editor, Tammy Meyer, said, I do not wish to be anyone's employee. I am a small business owner with a staff of one. I am self-employed and the best boss I've ever had. And if the PRO Act passes as written, along with 57 million other freelancers in the business are going to effectively have to have a boss. It's going to be the PRO Act includes a 3-pronged test known as the ABC test, designed to differentiate between an employee and an independent contractor. Effectively, it's the Increase Union Membership Act of 2023. A number came out last week. The lowest amount in sheer numbers, even though the country's grown, the lowest membership in unions was struck since the union movement a century ago.
Yeah, they started keeping track of these numbers about four decades ago. And in 2022, union membership fell from 10.3% to 10.1%.
Oh, I get the more you know music ready. Can you guess what industry, what field most unionized employees in America are employed?
Wait, hold on. There's a question first.
Wait. Oh, can you guess the majority of unionized Americans work for what employer? What category of employer?
The federal government?
The government. They're public employees. Public employees, everybody. And so,
you know, the executive branch has 4 million employees.
Well,
I learned that the other day.
Why wouldn't it? So anyway, there's that. It sounds like we're getting into know-it-all.
I want it.
First thing, the Washington Supreme Court reviewing the 2021 law, which is it's an income tax. If you sell anything over $250,000, you can sell up to $250,000 of stocks and bonds, and the state of Washington will continue gnawing at the corpse of business over there. But at $250,001. They want a piece of that. It will get up like a zombie, like in episode 2 of Last of Us, and it will come sprinting at you screaming for you to pay. And there are some people who call that an income tax and therefore is unconstitutional. Hello, Culleton Act. Anyway, there's been a long, long, decades-long battle for people who want to replace the statewide sales tax with an income tax. I will listen to them calmly and not interrupt if they begin with eliminate the sales tax there. But if you don't, if you say this would be a revenue addition that could help with homelessness, because King County Regional Homelessness Authority asked for $11.7 billion yesterday. Anyway, we'll see how this how this shakes out. It was, you know, the act was passed in 2021. Of course, the governor signed it. There's many, many sides to this. It's one of these things where you go in at 250, at a quarter million. Okay, it doesn't affect the vast majority of people in the state of Washington. And then it comes down to 200, and then it comes down to 150, then it comes down to, you know, name your low figure, and then, oh, look at that. If you have an IRA, if you play in stocks and bonds, you have an income tax. There's that. Thing two.
Second thing
is $11 billion, and let me just emphasize, because if a broadcaster thinks you're really dumb, they'll say this.
That's billion with a B.
For those of you that failed the spelling B on that, what is My Little Hero talking about? Well, in this case, King County Homelessness Regional Authority released a 180-page proposal with a bunch of gobbledygook, but that's all you need to know is $11.7 billion. That's billion with an illion.
Homelessness Authority said.
Let's just get right to Reagan Dunn on this one. King County Councilman Reagan Dunn pointing out a salient fact.
And homelessness. The bulk of the money would go toward building tens of thousands of housing units for people transitioning out of homelessness. It would increase the...
I have no idea how you do that. Without comprehensive drug rehabilitation.
KCRHA's budget by around 1,000%.
That is more than what the entire county spends in a year on all services.
King County Councilmember Reagan Dunn calls the proposal jaw-dropping.
And you know what I think it's going to do is actually work to make the homeless problem worse, not better.
Dunn says adding this level of...
If passed as prologue, we already know that there's a... there's an almost causal relationship between more money thrown at homelessness and more homelessness. Is there any evidence of the contrary of what Reagan then just said? I don't see it. Haven't seen it in 20 years.
Post services would draw homeless here from around the country.
But if this is what the King County Regional Homelessness Authority says they need, how can you be confident that it's too much?
Over here? Because they lie about the results, and they're now a large employer in the homeless industrial complex, and it's a conflict of interest for them to actually fight homelessness. There's that.
It's not even a close call. And the problem is, I desperately want the homeless authority to work, but when you do a $12 billion proposal, which is an obvious overreach, you just lose credibility as an agency.
Today, I reached out to King County Executive Dow Constantine for his reaction to this $12 billion proposal. Here's what he had to tell me. He said, while there's still a lot of work to be done as the plan moves forward, including identifying the fiscal scope and the balance of temporary and permanent housing, he says it's exciting to see what's possible when we work together.
I love that kind of governmental boilerplate. You know, it's exciting to see what can happen when we work when we actually are on the same page, Greg. It's exciting.
Very.
What's he talking about? I mean, consider that the state budgetary requests come out of the governor's mansion and they're walked over to the legislature. But the commander in chief of the state of Washington, as well as the commander in chief of the city of Seattle, share the same. What do we call it? Misperception of what the root of the problem is.
Fundamentally, it has occurred because we have not built the housing, the roofs that people need to live under.
Seattle Mayor Bruce Harrell aiming to spend $338 million on affordable housing.
Lack of access to housing is the source of homelessness.
Huh? I like the malapropism by Inslee here.
Fundamentally, it has occurred because we have not built the housing.
All your base are belong to us. Is basically what he's saying there. Nod north and south if you have common sense. Do you know anyone that moved to Seattle without a place to live? Did they just go down and score the Fenty right away, or go right to the meth, or what? Do you know anyone that's been kicked out of their house and then walked away forlornly with a blue tarp and went under I-5? I'm sorry, you're a drug addict first. That's the horse. The lack of a roof is the wagon. There's that. And I really want to see the study that says otherwise, because that's what's powering the forlorn engine, the forlorn engine of the homeless industrial complex in the city of Seattle and the county of King and the Washington estate. Thing three.
Third thing.
As I've said time and time again, the German government is hopelessly penetrated by the KGB / FSB, the highest ranking spy catcher in the German analog of the CIA and the NSA is the German BND, the Bundesnachrichtendienst, and the highest ranking a German army colonel with the highest ranking spy catcher in the entire German government. And he's under arrest because he's a Russian spy. He's a mole. And it was the FBI that found this guy for the Germans. And I mean, what are the odds? Why would the Germans want a mole in that position? It's so weird. But anyway, but you send your tanks first, or else the naked pictures of Olaf Scholz and a goat come out or something. So anyway, female goat. I mean, he's not, you know, don't worry. We'll be back right after this. Same 70 KTTH. AM 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here with producer Greg. Well, imagine the worldwide shock last night when we discovered that Somalia has a functioning government as it thanked the United States for killing a Islamic State leader, the infamous Bilal al-Sudani. That's Bilal from Sudan. And 10 of his operatives, U.S. Navy SEALs in the rough northeastern Somali rocky cavey land, went there for a live capture of the guy. He disagreed, and 10 of his operatives, and they got killed by U.S. Navy SEALs. No word. It's Pentagon is not saying that the SEALs had any casualties whatsoever. The raid comes less than a week after a drone strike killed 30 guys on the other team, the Al-Shabaab, the other Islamic jihadist terrorist movement that's existing in Somalia. So anyway, to help us understand and get into this, get into the weeds, is an associate, former Delta Force operator, Tom B., who lives in S, lives in SH. Thanks for joining us. You can see
SH,
your name.
That doesn't sound that good.
So I know I was going to say, I'll just say secret place in the
yeah,
South Sound. All right. Hey, so first question, you know, obviously, I don't want to, you know, bring back any bad memories, but this is, of course, the iconic theme to Chuck Norris's Delta Force, or the film. So
I think I walked out on that movie.
Did
so,
you
kind of ridiculous?
Did you have?
We didn't have rockets that shot off our.
I was about to
motorcycle.
Ask. Did you have a motorcycle with rockets?
No.
So that's fiction. Okay.
I did have a motorcycle though, but I didn't shoot rockets off the handlebars. I guess something
so
like that.
U.S. forces have killed an Islamic State leader, Bilal al-Sudani, and 10 of his operatives in northern Somalia. The Pentagon said yesterday he was killed after U.S. special forces raided him to capture him. He funded the group's activities globally and coordinated that. And ISIS in Africa now has its tentacles in Mozambique and the Democratic Republic of Congo and et cetera. So why not just drone the guy? They wanted to capture the guy alive. He disagreed. So at that start of that decision point, why capture the dude?
Well, most likely they were looking for more intelligence, but. You know, in my opinion, and I don't know what those guys were thinking, but first of all, great job. I mean, there was a casualty. I think one of our dogs bit one of our operators, but somehow probably overexcited, wanted to.
Are you kidding?
Wanted to bite one of their guys.
Is that what you heard, or are you making that up?
No, that's what I read. That one of the dogs, our dogs, bit one of our operators. That was the lone casualty on our side. Now, I think that, you know, he wasn't going to just give up, but it's kind of a kill capture mission. In my opinion, that's a great way to sell it to the, especially to this administration, you know, because in the past we got guys we captured and, you know, other presidents like Obama, let's say, let them go and now they're out operating again. So in my opinion, this is a great deal. Yeah, we're going to capture him. Oh, he didn't give up, and we killed him. So
yeah, that's my feeling too. I think because this guy was vice president for 8 years, and you know watched Obama walk around with a clipboard and say drone him, and
right.
And I think by saying we were trying to capture him, but it really was a one-way ticket for the guy. And I don't know what we're going to do with him. Maybe question him over the Indian Ocean. Then, oops, he fell out.
They still haven't shut down Guantanamo, but I don't know if you want to stick him in there, what you're going to get out of that. I don't think this administration, and actually, and this is not just hyperbole, but from people I've talked to, they're not super military supportive. You know, this looks great for anybody. It looks great for the country. It looks great for Biden if he actually knows what happened here. I don't know.
And they inserted by helicopter or by parachute? Because parachute would make a better movie. And then SEALs have done that. They had that one hostage rescue where the hostage was killed and stuff, but.
Yeah, I didn't get the technical details. I looked at a couple different reports, and they weren't saying how they operated, which is good. They don't need to really tell them. I would assume that if they did use parachutes, it was not during the – it was probably previous to put people eyes on the target, I would assume. But I don't know. I think they probably just went in there rapidly. And again, this guy was an ex-Al-Shabaab guy too. So
yeah, they kicked him.
Like you say, a week ago they just droned a bunch of those guys.
Yeah, too. they kicked him out of the band in Al-Shabaab, and he joined ISIS and began funding them and the whole thing. And this is really rough terrain where they are. If people are thinking of Somalia as some flat, do you want to reveal any of your operational past?
That was one of the worst places, if not. It's definitely in the top two of the worst places I've ever been, in the sense of depressing. Not the terrain, especially if you're flying around, the terrain was kind of immaterial. I don't think there's that rough a terrain anywhere in Somalia, but it is an S-hole for sure.
Like your hometown where you live now?
Which, no, I think it's a lovely place. Well, no, because we're not Olympia or Seattle.
Oh, that's so
we
true.
Don't have that problem.
Yeah. And by the way, folks, for the record, Black Hawk Down was filmed in Morocco. So
yeah.
So there's that. If I gave you this task, what would the organization look like? What helicopters man the whole stuff?
If it was up to me, I'd have to do the analysis. But just off the top of my head, I would hit the thing with helicopters rapidly, and with some kind of air support option, and then just overrun the place rapidly and kill everyone. Which sounds like that's kind of what they did. And they keep stressing that there was no civilians, injured or killed and so forth. My guess is there probably weren't a lot of civilians mixed in with this group of people. It's not like they were in some remote camp somewhere, it sounds like, and they struck the target and killed everybody.
So then zooming out 100 miles, what's the point of even releasing this? If you have to explain to people, this is my thing about the last Al-Qaeda guy that they killed. If you have to explain who he is, then what's the point of even releasing it? That information.
Oh, it's just politics.
Yeah,
it's just BS to make the and I did see something else in a story that said, Trump pulled all the troops out of Somalia and we put 500 guys back on the ground there. And like you said, functioning government? Come on, there's no functioning government over there. I don't know what they're doing or who they say they're functioning. I mean, Djibouti is just north of there, and they barely have a functioning government.
Hello.
And we've got a base there.
Yeah.
So in this region, it's to say they have a functioning government is to say that Seattle has a functioning government. I'd be shocked.
And according to sources, the Somali government consists of about 10 blocks of Mogadishu. That's where the government functions. Whereas here in Mogadishu, at least they can say 20 blocks from City Hall in Seattle is Mogadishu.
Sure. Oh, and for your own promotion, a lot of friends of mine who won't be able to get up this early, they want to know how to podcast this stuff. So you'll have to tell them that at some point during your show.
They just have to text Suits, SUITS, to 800-465-8770.
And with our great work in the Middle East, there was one of our guys passed away recently. So,
Really? Oh, okay.
In our trip. And if I don't want to put all that out, but if you want to look online, you can see that.
Yeah, I will. By the way, are we still in the air? Last personal message. Cobra 6 Actual is turning 50 today in Gig Harbor. So if you want to come.
Great.
Yeah, so it'll be cool. My company commander. All right. Well, thank you for this exclusive super secret information, all the secrets that you've. By the way, do you have any classified documents? at your house?
No, I left them all at the White House, I think.
Oh, okay.
You're supposed to leave them at your office and not take them home, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's the rule.
I've got to say, I think your compound is a little more secure than the 67 Corvette garage with Hunter running around naked. So
not for long. I think Jay's trying to take all our guns away from us.
Yeah. But, the ones they know about. All right. Well, thank you very much for your insight, and we'll talk to you later.
Great.
Okay, there he goes. Tom B., former Delta Force operator, 11-year veteran of the Special Mission Unit, the fictional Delta Force that some say doesn't exist anywhere on paper or whatever. And talking about a raid in Somalia. Navy SEALs attempting to capture, winky winky, a senior ISIS commander. Turns into a firefight, and 10 members of the terror group are dead, and one Navy SEAL with a bite, a canine bite. Back in a second, AM 770 KTTH. I'm 770 KTTH, Brian Suits here with producer Greg. I know you're all saying, please update us on your sleep. I mean, come on, it's like 745 and you haven't updated us on our sleep. I'm getting the figures in just now, Greg.
Oh, no kidding.
And they are stunning.
Breaking news.
We'll get to that here in just a second. And Don Limon from CNN talking with the Memphis police chief. I'll give you that here also in just a second. But quick word about possible future employees. So we're just talking with my friend Tom B, who is a former Delta Force operator for 11 years and Special Operations Army soldier, as well as full disclosure, I worked for him and in the capacity of a private contractor in Africa. And if you ever have someone, a buddy at the bar or whatever, who says that they were super secret Operation Neptune Spirit, you know, whatever, you're allowed to say, show me the document when you get out of the military is called a DD-214. And it says it on there. It doesn't, when they say, oh, yeah, oh, that's the thing. Oh, it says that I was a soft serve yogurt dispenser tech in Greenland, but I really was, you know, I was Chad. I was that guy. And no. It says it on there. Now, like in the case of Delta Force, it'll say Special Activities Unit, Special Missions Unit, or whatever. But anyway, everyone knows what that means. That's what it means. So anyway, I'm just saying, if you have that guy and they just won't shut the hell up, chances are they were nowhere near that world, not even in the solar system in that world, if they're just yapping. Why did Jason Rantz last night tweet Seattle PD asking officers to come in early and stay late Friday and over the weekend in anticipation of protests? Though I'm calling for calm. Possible riots with the Memphis PD body cam footage, which is coming out later today. White Seattle activists love a good cause to justify vandalism and police violence, so it could be dicey. I can concur. The baller move is always the shutting down of the I-5 through downtown Seattle in solidarity with the what, you know, and that's where I still think that you can't do more than what Memphis PD's chief, a black female, has done, firing the five guys. Five guys are charged. They're jailed. Four of the five have bonded out, but they've been charged. They were charged with murder. You know, not inconveniencing your neck with a knee or whatever. It just didn't take. There's no reacting to a video. The video's not out yet. However, she has absolutely, you know, given out a spoiler alert that it's going to be shocking. And besides releasing it right now, which is what I would do, and let people get their knuckleheadedness out, whatever they want to do. But man, I gotta say, I would say to activists, what do they want to call themselves here in Seattle, how is this your fight, and what would you do different? So anyway, here's Don Limon speaking with her.
When did you first learn about this incident, Chief?
2 minutes ago.
It was probably about 4 o'clock in the morning. The previous day, 8 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock, this incident occurred. About 4 o'clock in the morning, I learned of the incident, and it was just a strange summary of what occurred on a traffic stop. And I decided to go in the office and meet with the individuals that had information that I could take a look at it, even though at that time Tyree was in the hospital. But still, because he had injuries that I just didn't understand, it was incomprehensible to me. We came in the office and decided to take a look that Sunday morning, and it was alarming.
That's when Sunday morning is when you first saw the video?
That's absolutely right.
And then when you saw it, what was your reaction?
I was outraged. It was incomprehensible to me. It was unconscionable, and I felt that I needed to do something and do something quickly.
And she did. She whatever she saw on the body cam, it was grounds for termination for the 5 plus 2 firefighters. And the other thing I realized is you know, all of these sort of incidents, we've seen the charges happen because of broken windows, you know, and all that. In this case, what they've done, and again, I don't know what they could do, how they could do more, charging these guys pretty rapidly when after the victim in the hospital for 3 days, he dies. When he died, it became murder. So I guess they had assault charges and all this stuff ready to go. Then they were given the word that he's not going to make it. He dies. They charge him with murder. So we'll see. As I say, you know, this buildup is I think it lets some steam off. Giving the spoiler alert that what did she say? She said, you're going to see acts that defy humanity. And so I'll take her word for it. I really don't care to see the video.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to watch that video.
But I mean, there's a professional outrage machine, and it's called CNN and MSNBC, and its fuel are people out looting the Cheesecake Factory. And other acts that will advance racial harmony like that. So we'll see where this goes.
Here's but, the attorney.
But I guarantee, yeah, if I-5 is closed at 6 p.m. today in Seattle, they're all going to be white. They're all going to be white kids.
Mm-hmm. This is the attorney for the 5 officers in Memphis as they prepare their defense.
We are getting to know our clients. You know, I've spent some time with Desmond Mills and have learned a lot about his background. And what I've learned so far is that he is known not only here locally, but back where he's from in Connecticut, as just a gentle, respectful father, a family man. I actually spoke with some of his family members today, his father, who talked about his own admiration for his son as somebody who dedicated his life to being a law enforcement officer. And not only is Mr. Mills obviously devastated to find himself charged with a crime, but as somebody who is on the other side of law enforcement, somebody who has been in charge of keeping our community safe, to be accused of something like this hurts him on another level.
Well, that's good to get ahead of this as well. You know, the video evidently is going to show a different version of that. I would say that one of my closest friends who early retired in the summer of 2020 from Seattle PD, he initially didn't like body cameras. But then within a couple of years, he was a complete convert because he said, if anything, it made the knuckleheads be less knuckly heady,
knowing that they were being filmed.
Yeah, and he transferred out of vehicle patrol and was on mountain bikes for his last 8 years, 9 years. And there's speaking of tiny jails in the Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia, it was actually a big jail. Do you know there's a jail underneath Seattle Center, the food circus?
Is there?
Yeah. That was his office. And they had a detention cell, and it was not his idea. It was my idea, but we had my daughter made a goofy face behind the door in the cell. There's a jail under there, and of course it's an army, former armory. Anyway, so that's what he was. The level of people complaining about police use of force was, I think, equaled only by the English Premier League. In Seattle, his other issue with people was like they're justifiably detaining a lunatic drug addict in Seattle Center. And he said, you know, only in Seattle would people come up and start yelling at him for wrestling with a nude lunatic drug addict. So you have your kids here. You're arguing with the police about why we're detaining this guy. The guy was a good cop. He was exactly the guy that you want showing up when you call 911. Never had a upheld use of force thing. Saw what was happening, and he said, "Peace out." And he tapped out early, and now he's He's granting his services to a lovely, lovely mountained and treed city far to our east. Not that far to our east, but anyway, to our east. And, you know, Seattle's poorer for it. And, you know, you think things were bad 2 years ago. And here's why this should concern you later on today in Seattle. This is going to be a horrific video. I'll take the chief of police's word for it. Will that calm down? Will that assuage or calm down the people that exist? Half of them are homeless Antifa nutbags. Will that make them not shut down I-5 today? And when Seattle police show up, will they have adequate numbers of well-trained people? You know, that was the thing about 99. The cops that were out there and Mayor Schell lowballed the danger. They were very well trained. They were some of the best trained, best equipped in the country. They were just outnumbered 50 to 1, 100 to 1, because their idiot mayor didn't allow them to be prepared. Now, I don't know how, what kind of, you know, are they going to call in the night shift early? The whole thing. I at this point, I assume the worst. Here we are several thousand miles away from Memphis. And there are, I don't know, high double figures or triple figures of people planning on being outraged in the name of racial harmony or something. I would bet it. What's your over under? 4 p.m., 5 p.m.?
For what?
For when it happens, when I-5 is shut down.
Again, shut down, yeah.
Around, say 4 p.m.
I just don't think the protests or demonstrations are going to be as big this time. That's my
hopefully prediction. Not. No sea turtles. Back in a second, AM 770 KATTH.